This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's time for our chat with Steelers Super Bowl champ, CBS Sports analyst Bryant McFadden, back with us. Steelers 1-0, Seahawks 0-1, 1 o'clock, the home opener at Acrisure Stadium, Aaron Rodgers' first home game as Steelers quarterback. B-Mac, do you agree with Pro Football Focus that Aaron Rodgers was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL last week?
How is that even possible?
They said no big time throws.
And one turnover-worthy play, mostly Arthur Smith doing the heavy lifting and Aaron Rodgers just making layup pitch-and-catch throws.
And Jets secondary sucking.
Man, that's the thing about these analytics. You know, I understand they have a certain regimen in terms of getting information out, but what did your eyes tell you? When you watch the flow of the football game, when you watch the game for four quarters, what did your eyes tell you? My eyes told me Aaron Rodgers played pretty good football. My eyes told me Aaron Rodgers played winning football in a day in which the running game was missing, in a day in which the pocket was consistently collapsing, and he was making plays. And most importantly, he was having fun. So at the end of the day, he threw well, he was efficient, and before Josh Allen played that Sunday night game, I think it's safe to say Aaron Rodgers was one of the top quarterbacks in the Sunday slate of games before Josh Allen took off and did what he did against the Baltimore Ravens. So I disagree.
B-Mac, I know PFF, we got them to admit they don't like take into account pre-snap adjustments or anything else. You know what I felt like, though, after watching Pickett and Trubisky and even Russ and some of Justin Fields? Like, if you give a starving man a day-old ham sandwich, he's going to think it tastes great. It was just nice to watch a quarterback, like, make the correct read and the decisive throw, even if there was a little pressure. Like, he threw two touchdowns to two different players on the exact same play, picking a different route each time. It was nice to watch a dude who knew where the ball was supposed to go. I don't know if you thought this, but that was the biggest difference I noticed from previous Steelers years of quarterbacking. When the ball was supposed to go somewhere, it went that place on time with Aaron Rodgers.
Rhythm, and that's what you expect when you talk about the experience that he has. He has that, you know, the wherewithal to be able to make those correct decisions in a timely fashion. And to your point, we've been missing that for quite some time, but we've still found ways to be relevant and win ball games, but we just haven't had that consistency at the quarterback position. And get this, guys, and I said this Sunday after the game, it's been a long time since I've seen Aaron Rodgers play in the game and it's looked like he's having fun. This man was smiling. He was giving a fist pump with the high knee at the same time. He was enjoying himself. I love that. I love that. So that tells me, man, he's motivated and he wants to continue to do what he needs to do to be at his best so the team offensively can be at their best.
How do we think he's going to play Sunday against the Seahawks?
I think he's going to play fairly well once again. Now, the thing about the Seattle Seahawks and Mike McDonald, of course, you guys know him when he was with the D.C. for the Ravens. He's going to bring exotic pressures. He's going to spice it up. You know, hopefully we can protect Aaron Rodgers better week two than week one. Because I think if he gets the sound protection, he's going to do what you guys talked about, throwing to the right spots. And then also, too, the running game. man, we have to run the football. We have to be able to run the football. So hopefully that can get going. But I really think Aaron Rodgers will continue to take steps in the right direction off the momentum from the week, though.
B-Mac, I was watching that Seahawks-Niners game to just get ready for what Seattle was going to throw at the Steelers. And Trent Williams is, I think, probably the best in the business still at left tackle and has been for a while. And even he was getting beat. That Seahawks defensive front looked pretty stout. And so the reason I bring them up is this. We know Broderick Jones had a tough week one. You're a defensive player. Everything the Steelers did well in the passing game involved Rodgers either in the pocket or moving to his right away from Broderick Jones. If you're on a team that's scouting the Steelers, how much does that make them easier to defend if you know that maybe the left tackle can't protect and that they're going to have to compensate for that when it comes to their play calling?
I mean, you know, in the words of Mike Tomlin, what he used to say to us in meeting rooms, anytime you put bad tape out there, be prepared to embrace it and be prepared to see every week until you correct it.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, yeah, Broderick struggled a little bit. So everything that worked for the Jets last week, the Seattle Seahawks will do the same thing. And that's just a part of the National Football League. Man, anytime you have a bad day or an inconsistent day, be prepared to see those same things the next week until you get it right. I have all the belief in Broderick. You know, he's a talented guy.
All the belief.
I mean, I am
stunned by that.
When you go first round, you're a talented player. It's about just finding your stride. That's the thing. It's not like you have a guy starting left tackle with no talent. He has talent. It's about finding his stride. And hopefully, you know, he gets the confidence that he needs to be able to play at his best.
Talking to Brian McFadden here on 93.7 The Fan, a man who has come out in vocal support of Broderick Jones in this interview. All right.
It sounds like I'm the only one.
You're not even the only one in this interview who still holds some belief in him. I still think that he's going to put a much better game forth in this one.
There you have it. No question.
You're right, guys. He'll do. Broderick Jones will do better than Trent Williams against Seattle's front.
B-Mac,
that makes sense.
B-Mac, here's what you got to realize. I said that when they drafted Broderick Jones, day of, I ran around the building yelling the Rocky theme out, like, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, and I was using his name in place of the music, and I said he was going to be the best left tackle in franchise history. And we all know what Pony said about Kenny Pickett, and so now he wants to drag me down to his level.
That's
so
right.
That it's a misery loves company situation,
that's right.
B-Mac.
Can you repeat for our listeners that forgot? What did Pony say about Kenny Pickett?
He said Pickett to Pickens was going to be the new Montana to Rice.
I did say that. And I said Joe Burrow 2.0. I have to own it.
That is correct.
It's like putting the bad tape out there. I got to embrace it.
That's right. He's put on a lot of good tape since then, but for some reason, B-Mac, the coaches in the league haven't forgotten about that one.
All right, so let's go to your old position for a second, because it looks like Joey Porter Jr. is not going to play. And when he went out against the Jets, Jalen Ramsey went from playing the slot on every play to being an outside corner. Now, here's the deal with Seattle, B-Mac. Jackson Smith and Jigba has more receiving yards out of the slot than any receiver in the NFL since he's come into the league. So what do you do here? Do you put Ramsey inside and have somebody else play outside? I mean, what would be your strategy to line up against a very good receiver in JSN?
My strategy would be to put Jalen Ramsey outside, and the reason why is because you don't have another, I guess, viable option outside. Now, we brought in Echols.
So
right?
Echols is going to get JSN for you.
Yeah,
wow.
Because when JP Jr. went out, Echols went in at nickel, and that's where he made his money at. That's why he's a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers, because he played well in the slot for the New York Jets. So just allow Echols the kid into the ball game and do what he's been called to do. I'm okay with that. And to your point, Jackson Smith Ejigba is a very, very talented slot wide receiver. He does all of his damage out of the slot. But for us, if you put Ramsey at the slot, who goes outside?
Echols, probably.
Right? No. Echols is known to be a nickel inside corner. He's very, very shifty. He's instinctive. That's what he's most comfortable at. So my thing is this. I think you have to go with your next best options and put them in places where they're comfortable in being. You can't put Echols outside because Echols is more so an inside corner. I'm okay with that. I think they'd be fine.
B-Mac, how much could Jabril Peppers be expected to contribute to this team mere days after they signed him?
I don't expect to see a lot this soon, He just got, you know, with the team this week, you know, trying to get acclimated is always a process. You know, defensive calls and the checks and adjustments. Now, in terms of depth concerns, definitely, you know, he always would be needed. But I don't expect to see a lot from Jabril just offhand because it takes some time to get accustomed to a new scheme. And not to mention, you know, being in football shape. He's been away from the game for some weeks now.
B-Mac, are you a Sam Darnold guy? Is he someone that the Steelers need to worry about on Sunday?
Yeah, if you allow him to get comfortable. I mean, if you allow this man to come into your living room and sit in your lazy boy and prop his feet up, yeah, he might give you some issues. But, man, he come into your house. My uncle used to say, man, the best way to make someone feel uncomfortable, never offer them a seat. Make them stand.
Well, when are we going to see the Steelers defense do that again? Over their last nine games, they're giving up 27 points a game, B-Mac.
No, we're not doing this negative. No, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. Uh-uh. The Steelers defensively will have a good day Sunday. And you know why I'm saying that? It's because look at the whole ordeal with the New York Jets. You didn't know exactly what you were going to get offensively, and you're playing against a mobile, athletic quarterback. Mm-hmm. We've always had issues with those type of guys, honestly. It's always been an issue with those type of players at the quarterback position. Now you're getting Sam Darnold, who's not the athlete that Justin Fields is.
Correct.
He's an easier target, and we're at home. Week one is the week of unknowns. You guys know that. You don't know what you're going to get. I'm happy that, yes, the defense didn't really play up to the billing, but we still found a way to win a ball game where our defense wasn't at their best. How many times in years past, if our defense didn't show up, we lose ball games?
Pretty much every time, because that's the way the offense has been awful under Matt Canada and Randy Feuchner and guys like that. Although, I will say, we already do have excuse-making from Cam Hayward, who said, this team does zone scheme running, and I don't like playing against teams that make us move horizontally and side to side. How about that?
I mean, Sam is a savvy vet, man. Maybe he's building up. I know when I played at Florida State, Bobby used to tell us all the time before he talked to the media, he was going to say things that make us feel like we didn't have a shot. He was going to build up the opposing players and the opposing team that really make the media feel like, man, they don't have a shot. But deep down inside, he used to tell us all the time, we got him right where we want him to have it. So maybe that's some gamesmanship coming from Cam. I think, listen, I'm fired up to see this defense get out there. First and foremost, before I move on, what's the status on Nick? Is he going to play?
Herbig, yes.
Yeah. We're going to be cooking with gas now. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
B-Mac.
Yeah, I love Nick coming in as a situational guy because he got some bend and he got a burst that really makes the entire defensive front go. Yes. Let's go, Steelers. Start the Steelers defense in your fantasy league this week, matter of fact.
Wow. Okay, that's a second bold proclamation right there after having a ton of confidence in Broderick Jones.
Damn.
I want to ask you about your position again, though, but on the other side, because I'm thinking about Rodgers having four touchdowns, who they might choose to attack, guy that put out very bad film. Reek Woolen could have changed that entire game. He just looks like Purdy's.
Oh, my goodness.
I know where I'm going. Looks like he's throwing away. Woolen's right there. He just, like, misses it. It's a touchdown. Earlier, I think in that same drive, he kind of throws one up to Pearsall.
Ricky Pearsall, yep.
Woolen is
right there.
Just misses it. Okay, a couple things from that. If you're in his shoes, how tough is it to get back on the horse and back on the bike in week two? And if you're the opposing team, how much are you trying to pick on Reek Woolen early in this game because of how much bad tape he put out there?
Now, listen, Reek Woolen is a 6'4 product who run 4.42. Like
he's a freak. He's a physical freak.
Who was created. The issue for him sometimes, he plays with bad eyes. That's his biggest issue. And that's what you saw in those two plays that you just highlighted.
Kind of looked like he was playing with a blindfold on, B-Mac, on both of those plays.
You're playing with bad eyes is something that you don't want to do as a corner. I mean, they ran a stutter and go with Ricky Pearsall. Reek Woolen is right there. It looked like he just couldn't find the football and slowed down, which allowed Pearsall to catch that pass that set up the game-winning throw that happened on Reek Woolen to the backup tight end, where he just didn't attack the football. I mean, they love him there. They just want him to hit that. They want to see fire in the belly coming from Reek Woolen. That's all. Because when you talk about being 6'4", running 4.2, with ball skills, because he's a former wide receiver, he has everything. Sometimes he just gets lackadaisical. Now, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, our wide receiver one came from Seattle. So he knows everything about the defensive backs that they will see on Sunday. And I'm pretty sure he's sharing some of the insights about what could work against some of those guys. You know, you talked about Reek Woolen. You talk about Witherspoon.
He might not play.
Oh, he's not. Oh, Devon is might not.
He hasn't practiced all week.
Okay, I mean, he's the best cornerback in my opinion. He's the best. He's the second best defensive player on that defense, in my opinion, behind Leonard Williams.
And
if he doesn't play.
Yep, I agree.
And if he doesn't play, man, I applaud their problems. I can care less. Good. I hope he doesn't.
Well, you need to give us a prediction and who's going to be the star of this game.
What is it? What was my prediction last week? Number one, I told you guys the Steelers were going to win, so that happened.
You didn't say 34-32. You made it sound like it was going to be more of a rock fight than a shootout.
Well, at the end of the day, we won. We had more points than they did.
Correct.
Right?
Yep.
Right. So did I do a star prediction last week?
No.
Okay, so this is what we're going to do. If I didn't do a star prediction last week and we won, I don't think I should do one this week.
Fair enough.
Is that fair?
Yes, it is. So what's your score?
I'm giving you a prediction then. What's the over-under? What's the total?
40,
you
I think.
Some betting numbers.
Very, very low. It's 40 and a half for the total, and the line is Steelers minus 3.
Well, heck, the last week total was what, 36, 37?
Yeah. This one's 40 and a half. It's got the same total as Saints and 49ers with Mac Jones and Spencer Rattler at quarterback.
Vegas doesn't think that Aaron Rodgers can fill it up for two straight weeks.
Yeah, and the defense, they're anticipating a pop Warner scoreboard. But this is what I do. I'll go 2016.
Who?
Steelers.
Come on.
We cover the spread. What are you talking about? Hey, who? There's no owls around here. It's who? Steelers cover the spread.
All right, B-Mac. We'll talk again next week. Good
See
stuff.
You, B-Mac.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Our guest right now from the Post-Gazette, our good friend. Our good friend, Chris Carter. Chris,
hello,
how you doing?
Chris, how we doing today?
I'm all right. Are you okay, Adam?
Zin. That was a Zin-related unforced error there.
Okay.
All right, let's do what we always do. Let's start broad, and then we'll narrow in on some of the matchups. But how do you feel about Steelers-Seahawks?
I like the Steelers' chances in this game. I think they have to be able to come out and establish who they are on defense. Instead of letting what the Jets did happen, I think that the difference will be here is that with Sam Darnold, who's not non-athletic, but he's not an extreme athlete the way that Justin Fields when it comes to the way he runs, the Steelers should be able to attack a little bit more aggressively without having to consider what lanes that Sam Darnold might escape to. They should be able to pin him in a little bit more, but they have to stop the run. They can't let the Seahawks go with Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, who Zach Charbonnet getting a lot more uses this year than I thought he would early on. But if they let those guys start to get going, that's going to make Sam Darnold's job that much easier. And so you got to be able to limit that. If you can make the Seahawks one-dimensional, at least last week, it looked like Sam Darnold really locked in on Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think if you force that to happen, then you can tell your cornerbacks, which I think they're pretty confident in, like, hey, Jalen Ramsey, take that guy away and force him to win with his other guys. It'll be interesting to see what the Seahawks do there. Offensively, I think the Seahawks have some talent up front. The offensive line must be better. They cannot let Aaron Rodgers get hit 7 more times and get sacked 4 more times. I think if they accomplish those two things, I think other things start to fall into place for the Steelers, and that allows them to control the pace of this game. But it's never easy in the NFL. As much as you look at matchups, those other guys are professionals too. But I think if they do those two things, they'll get themselves in a good position.
Chris, from your evaluation of the game last weekend against the Jets, what was worse, the linebackers, the off-ball linebackers, or the defensive line?
The defensive line. Listen, the linebackers had their problems, but it all was started by the D-line not being able to take on double teams. Keanu Benton, I thought, had a terrible game when you looked at his tape. And I think it's disappointing because Keanu Benton can be better. He has the talents to be better. I know there's a lot of people that think that he can't play nose tackle. And listen, I do think there's a good idea out there to put Y.A. Black at the nose because of his size. But the Steelers are trying to be modern with their idea of what the nose tackle is. And Cam Hayward brought this up when I asked him about it just yesterday in the Steelers locker room. He compared Keanu Benton to Javon Hargrave. He was like, body-wise, skill-wise, that's what he does. And he doesn't have to be the guy that just stands you up because he's so big and so strong. He's quick. And if he gets his technique going, he's able to get inside. He's able to beat you to your gap. And then he's being so quick, you can't pin him down. And that is something in today's NFL that you kind of need as a nose because – teams like to pass so much, especially quick pass so much. So you need that kind of capability. And when Keanu Benton's losses started happening, that's when you saw the linebacker problems really start to arise. I broke this down in a film study earlier this week for the Post Gazette.
Yeah, you did.
Where like you could see Peyton Wilson coming down to jump into Keanu Benton's gap, but that was like where Patrick Queen already was, and in doing so, he opened up his gap, and then Breece Hall would like run for 12 yards. The Steelers have to trust that they can win gap by gap assignments and not try to leave their assignments to play hero ball to help somebody else out. And that's a common thing in football. It happens every week when teams are starting to lose certain matchups. But that's what happens when you run the ball well, is that eventually you press the other team into saying, hey, are you just going to let this keep happening? Or, you know, are you going to trust that your one-on-ones will eventually win? Or are you going to start selling out to stop me? And the Steelers were starting to, and the linebackers came out of place. But it all starts up front. If the D-line can be better against the run, if they can stop the double teams from pushing them so far off the ball, that's step number one.
Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette, filmer, breaker, downer guy. You watch Project Jones. We all did. We all had him circled going into the season, and I'm sure every defensive coordinator in the NFL is now going to have him circled moving forward. What would you say is his biggest problem, and is it fixable?
It's fixable because it's his fundamentals with his hand placement. And I've seen it. When he gets his hands in somebody's chest, he locks them down. The problem is he's not doing it consistently enough. And guys with big frames especially are beating him. And the one thing I said about Broderick Jones for this game that was different than last year at right tackle was there was not a snap where I saw him look confused and out of place. He knew what was coming. It was just, hey, Quinnen Williams, Will McDonald, those are some tough dudes. They're going to win some of those reps, and on last Sunday they won a lot of those reps. And I think that's the thing that Broderick Jones really went through last week. But he wasn't confused. Last year there were times where it was like, buddy, you got to figure out where you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to be looking at, what gap you're supposed to protect. And that wasn't the issue for this game. So that was the minute progress that he made there. But he took ownership of it this week. He said, I have to be better in all phases. It doesn't matter the matchup. I got to be ready to do my job. And I think that's a good sign. But now you need to see it come to fruition, because the Seahawks don't have the Jets D-line, but they don't have slackers in the D-line either. They're going to be bringing pressure. They like to bring simulated pressures where they're faking blitzes this way and that way. So that's going to test his communication. But I think the first thing, I liked his footwork for the most part last week. So the first thing is, can he get those hands? Can he use – he's a big frame. He's 6'5". He's like the biggest Steelers offensive lineman. Use that frame. Use those long arms. Jab guys. Keep them from getting inside on you, and protect your frame from getting exposed. If he does that, I think he has a better week.
Chris, backyard brawl tomorrow. How do you see this game playing out?
I thought this might be a tough game. It still could be. Milan Puskás is just a tough place to play. But, man, Adam, that was a rough loss at against Ohio last week.
Thanks, Chris.
WVU has to be able to take advantage of Pitt's offensive line. If the Mountaineers are able to get consistent pressure on Eli Holstein and keep him from using his legs, that will put them right in this game. But Eli Holstein and these Pitt wide receivers, from Kenny Johnson to Poppy Williams to Blue Hicks, they look really talented, and the tight ends are getting involved. I don't know if WVU has the ammunition, especially now with the injuries that they've been mounting on offense. I don't know if they have the ammunition to keep up with the Panthers in this one. I think that they make it a game because they got the home stadium, and they're going to be loud and proud in West Virginia. But I really do think that this is going to be a Pitt win. I say they win maybe like 34-24, 34-27-ish.
Chris, one last thing for you. Aaron Rodgers, the 26th best quarterback according to Pro Football Focus. Your thoughts on that evaluation, your evaluation of A-Rod in the first game?
My evaluation of A-Rod was that he threw 4 touchdowns and no interceptions, completing targets to 7 different receivers, and 4 different guys caught touchdowns while having no run game and being sacked 4 times,
yeah,
constantly under pressure. So if I forget other quarterbacks, I'm not even gonna compare him to other quarterbacks. Pro Football Focus graded him the same grade as Broderick Jones from this game.
Yeah.
I listen, I appreciate the hard statistics I get from Pro Football Focus, the snap counts, the targets, the targets on defense, and this, that, and the third. You have a depth target, the things that I can trust that, hey, okay, at least you can get that part right. But as soon as they start to put opinions into things, and as soon as they start to say, oh, he's going to, they're always so bad. And to give him a 54.5 grade, and their reasoning was, oh, well, he wasn't as mobile, and who cares? He threw four touchdowns. Right. He executed the offense. He moved the ball when everything else was going on. If that's Mason Rudolph or Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky or Devin Hodges, this team would have lost that game last week. He was the straw that stirred the drink. He carried them to victory. That deserves at least some sort of positive grade. And then you grade him the same as a guy who allowed – 3 sacks last week? What are we doing here? That is just it is asinine. It is ridiculous. And at this point, and we've seen it for years, I saw games where TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith would combine for like 3 sacks and get pick sixes and return fumbles and like quadruple times the tackles that Myles Garrett would in the same game, and Myles Garrett would get the better grade than them. They do this and stuff intentionally for reactions like mine, because they're like, that's what's going to get us talked about more. It's why I don't think anyone should care about their grades, report on their grades, talk about their grades. Use the hard data. Stay away from the grades. They are useless and intentionally incendiary.
Nice.
Man, he went off.
Nice.
That's good stuff there.
That's ridiculous.
Very accurate.
Chris, we appreciate your time. Are you going to the brawl?
I am not. I'm gonna stay in Pittsburgh, get some things done before the game on Sunday. I'll try my best to be watching while I'm handling business at home.
You handle that business. Thank you, buddy. It's always great on Fridays at 8. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, Chris.
It's a great Chris Carter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The Steelers and Seahawks, Sunday, 1 p.m. Acrisure Stadium. That game on television will be on Fox. Adam Amin and Mark Sanchez, I believe, the pairing for that one. So a bit low on the pecking order for Seattle and Pittsburgh, and certainly not the national footprint that the opener against the Jets had. Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We go back out to that Fan Hotline, and that is where we find the great Ray Fittipaldo, who was brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years. Ray, the Steelers' defense has been a point of discussion this week. Terrell Austin spoke yesterday. He said, oh, you're going to have a few stinkers here and there, but they've had more than a few in the last two seasons. And in fact, Pony had this stat yesterday. In their last nine games, if you include week one, if you include the playoff game, they've given up something like 27 points per game. That's pretty unacceptable from a defense with this price tag.
Yeah, absolutely. And with all these expectations too, and I know the price tag is certainly something that comes along with that. But yeah, people didn't want to hear that, especially since the last time we saw this football team, they got gouged by the Baltimore Ravens, embarrassed on national television. You know, I was at the game, but I heard all about Kirk Herbstreit questioning the effort of the football team. Now, you know, Terrell Austin said that wasn't the issue in New York. He said when he walked off the field in Baltimore, he felt like he was physically dominated, or his unit was physically dominated. He didn't feel that way. And if you guys listened to Cam Hayward yesterday too, there was a lot of talk about not being in the right gap. You know, maybe they weren't schematically sound. So maybe if they clean that up this week against the Seahawks, it'll be better. But Donnie, I don't care if it's 299, 182, whatever. 100 yards on the ground used to be the standard for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they've given up 100-yard rushings in 10 of their last 20 games. So they're a far away from their standard.
Yeah, and I know that we have heard, well, Mike Tomlin, he said they could be a historic defense. He put that out there to raise the expectation and put pressure on them. The fact is, he still said it, and those words are going to look funny if the defense continues down this path. That 2008 defense, which was a historic defense, they gave up, what, like one game where a team had more than 100 yards, or there was like one rusher that had more than 100 yards over the course of the whole season, and it came in a blowout win. So it happened mostly in garbage time. That is the standard this defense should try to have.
Yeah, I mean, that 2008 defense, legitimately, you know, whether you talk about it in Pittsburgh or nationally, I think that's a consensus top five, or if not top five, top 10 defense of all time in the NFL. So, you know, I was trying to think back, you know, if this does turn out to be a bad quote on Mike, like what were some of the other questionable quotes from Mike Tomlin over the years? Donnie, I always go back to 2017, where I think they were playing like a Sunday night game against NBC, and he told Tony Dungy, basically, it's going to be us and the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Then what? Two or three weeks later, they go out and you know, they lose to Jacksonville in the divisional round. So that was a bad one for Mike. Hopefully the Steelers can get this turned around and, you know, he doesn't have egg on his face like he did back then. But, yeah, after 1 week, it's not looking like it was one of the smartest things that Mike ever said.
Do you think Terrell Austin will be on some sort of hot seat if we get to the end of the season and the defense is, let's just say, middle of the pack? Like, okay, they turn the ball over a good bit. You know, maybe they sack the quarterback, but otherwise it's a pretty mediocre unit.
Well, I mean, it would depend on what their record would be. Listen, if they get a bunch of turnovers and they're 11-6, it's probably not going to be a lot of pressure on Austin or Mike Tomlin. But, yeah, listen, if they're middle of the pack and they're 9-8 and they miss the playoffs, then, yeah, you know, they go out and get Jalen Ramsey. They make some big moves in the offseason. They secure T.J. Watt for the long term. Yeah, I think in that scenario, yes, I think he would be on the hot seat. But let's see what happens. You know, week ones in the NFL can sometimes be tricky. You know, there's a lot of guesswork that goes involved, especially when you have new head coaches and different coordinators. Arthur Smith talked about that a little bit yesterday. It just took the Steelers a while to kind of figure out what was going on in that game. So, you know, the Seahawks have a little bit more of a resume there. McDonald has been there for more than a year now. So maybe week two and beyond will be a little bit different for the Steelers defense.
Are you concerned at all by the tape put out there by Keanu Benton last week?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't good. You know, the coaches, both Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin, want to pass it off as a, you know, first week thing. He's going to get better. I don't know about you, Donnie. I, for a second round pick, Benton has just kind of left me wanting. Like, I expect more from somebody who was basically a top 50 pick, and we just haven't seen it. And I would hate for this to be the case, but the longer this goes on and he's not able to hold up to bigger and stronger guys inside, I just wonder if he's miscast as a nose tackle. I just wonder if it'd be better off being a three technique. Listen, if he's not a starter, maybe he's effective in sub packages. I heard the reasons why yesterday that they don't want to play YA Black nose just yet. I get it. He's young. He's not going to have the recognition skills that Benton has, but at some point you do have to get bigger and stronger in there. So I do think that's a move that they have in their back pocket, but I don't think we're going to see it this week.
It does sound like, though, according to what Terrell Austin said yesterday, YA Black will play more snaps against Seattle, yeah. Correct?
Yeah, and they like his length. They think he could play over guards and tackles, and he's got those big, long arms. He could lock out over defenders. I think he has the versatility to be a guy for up and down the line, you know, at some point in his career. But the way Austin explained it yesterday, they don't want to put too much on his plate at this point. They want to kind of have him master one skill first or one position first before they add more to it. But listen, if Benton struggles again, if the run defense struggles again, at some point they're going to have to make a move. YA Black to the nose is the most obvious thing that could help. And I think if it continues on, the way it was against the Jets, they're probably going to have to pull that trigger sooner than they would probably like.
How much should Steelers fans anticipate seeing Jabril Peppers in this game?
After only 5 days, Donnie, I don't get the sense that they're going to rush him in to the lineup at all. He does play special teams, so I could certainly see him getting a hat. I could see him maybe get in for a few plays here or there, but the Steelers are a team that's had some issues with communication in the past, especially in the back end, and I would think they would want to make sure Peppers is up to speed with the defense before they throw him out there into game situations where he would be counted on. So definitely special teams. I think he'll get a hat for that reason, but as long as Chuck Clark is healthy, I'm not sure how much he's going to play in the defense.
Is Joey Porter Jr. going to play?
Well, not a good sign that he didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. They're out there right now practicing. We'll see if there's any better news, but soft tissue injury, hard to see him going back out there on Sunday if he hasn't practiced this week.
The comments from Patrick Queen went a little bit viral after the game on Sunday. Some of the language he used, we unfortunately can't use here on The Fan, but it's obvious those guys know they didn't play well. Do you anticipate a better effort against the Seahawks?
Yeah. I mean, listen, Mike Tomlin said he wants them to be stouter. Terrell Austin talked about getting off blocks. I mean, Donnie, that stuff is just effort. And, I don't know why it happened, especially in week one when you have an entire offseason to think about that performance in Baltimore. But they weren't physical. They didn't play well. They did nothing that would say that they were the more physical football team in that game. So, to me, that's a little bit concerning. You would think they would be out to, avenge what happened in Baltimore, and the fact that they didn't look good from a physicality standpoint is concerning. But again, one game, I'll give them another opportunity or two to turn that around before I really crush them.
We can't talk much more about concerning play, Ray, without talking about Broderick Jones and his week one performance. What's that panic level for you? Somebody who played offensive line at the D1 level, Ray, that the panic level for you when it comes to Broderick Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned. I'm not going to lie. Mike said all the right things. They're gonna ride this out for a little while longer. But, to me, Donnie, the fact that his hands are always down at his hips, and it's just so easy for opposing edge rushers to get their hands on his chest. And it's something we've seen for quite some time now. He's never corrected it. You would think that just, coaching or other players on the team telling him what's going on would help, but he doesn't seem to be taking to the coaching for whatever reason. And he also ducks his head. He gets put off balance easily. There's just a slew of issues. I know Trey Essex talked a little bit about it, you know, earlier in the week on your station. And, you know, Trey wasn't sure if he could turn it around. So he's a first round pick. They're going to give him a few more chances, but after what we saw in New York, I think, you know, the leash might be getting a little bit shorter.
11:21. It's now time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Talking to Steelers reporter Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. You know him. Ray, do you think there's a fair chance that Jones gets benched over the course of the season?
Yeah. I mean, listen, if he doesn't play well, that's certainly a possibility. And I've had people tell me, well, they don't have any options. Listen, Calvin Anderson's in the NFL. The guy has started 10 games in the NFL. He's played like in 50 or 60 games. These are NFL players. They are capable guys. I know Andrus Peat played left tackle, but that was earlier in his career. I'm not sure if they would want to do that. But that Andrus Peat would be an option too. I think the point is you can only get by for so long on your draft slot, and if you're not putting good tape out there, there are other guys who could step in and perhaps do a better job. And I think sometimes we kind of look at guys like Calvin Anderson or, you know, some other guys who haven't done much in the NFL, but they're in the NFL. And at this point, I think people are starting to question whether they might be a better option than Broderick Jones.
Talking about Calvin Anderson, we go from that Calvin to another. Calvin Austin with a very nice week one performance, had some tough grabs, had a touchdown in that win over the Jets. A lot of chatter, Ray, about Tyreek Hill, but did the Steelers maybe have something here in Calvin Austin III?
Yeah, I mean, Don, if you look at the way this offense is set up, as long as DK Metcalf stays healthy, I think they could get by with, you know, a combination of Calvin Austin and Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth and Ben Skowronek. You know, what I saw against the New York Jets, 34 points, passing offense was very efficient. It wasn't like they were going for over 300 yards, but, I think Aaron had like, what, 244, four touchdowns, no picks. I mean, it was really good stuff. So, yeah, for 1 week at least, I think he quieted the talk. I'm not sure, you know, the Tyreek Hill stuff, you know, the domestic violence issue that's come up now. I don't know if the Steelers would want to take that on. But, yeah, Calvin Austin stepped up on Sunday, and he's kind of been he's quietly been progressing in each step, right? He missed his rookie year, did a little bit his second year, actually 550 yards and four touchdowns last year. What Mike Tomlin always says, it's reasonable for these guys to take the next step. And I think Calvin Austin could easily be a guy who goes for 705 touchdowns this year. I think that's easily within his grasp.
Only 10 snaps for Roman Wilson in that first game. Do we see more participation from him in week two, Ray?
Yeah, it depends on how these games go. You know, the Steelers didn't possess the ball a lot against the Jets. So, you know, in a different circumstance, maybe if the time of possession is flipped, then Roman Wilson gets a few more opportunities. The other thing was they were behind for so much that game, Donnie. I think Aaron and Arthur really just wanted to go to the guys that they knew that they trusted, right? Guys who have a little bit more of a resume than Roman Wilson. So, if the Steelers come out and play better early, if the defense plays better early, they have a lead, then, yeah, I think you'll see more of Roman Wilson. And he's a guy who has to – put some stats up first and, you know, make a play or two for Aaron in game situations, I think, before they fully trust him.
Austin, do you care if I do a little free association with our friend Ray?
I would love for that to happen, Donnie, yes.
Don't worry, Ray. I only have like three questions, not 15 set aside. DK Metcalf revenge game, does he score a touchdown?
He does, I think, yes.
Aaron Rodgers needs one touchdown to tie Brett Favre for fourth all-time. He needs two to pass him. Does he do it?
Yes, he will do it this week.
How many snaps on offense does Caleb Johnson play?
Oh, I'll go 4 this week.
Final score, Ray, and your MVP on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with 2017, and I think the Steelers find a way to get DK Metcalf involved against his old team. He was involved last week. He didn't score. I think he's going to score this week.
That's why you're the best. Ray Fittipaldo covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Donnie. See ya.
There we go. Ray Fittipaldo, one of the kindest men in the industry. Join Malzi at Rally House on General Robinson Street, North Shore, from 10 until noon tomorrow. Go get some pit gear before the brawl. Get your black and gold gear for the home opener on Sunday and register for the chance to win $250 in Rally House gift cards. So Ray Fittipaldo, he picks the Steelers to win 20-17 over the Seahawks on Sunday. An old-fashioned push for Ray in that game. The spread for that right now is Steelers -3. We will have fan game day coverage live from Rivers Casino starting at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Myself, Jason Mackey, Mark Cabali. So maybe some wagers will be laid down before kick on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Doug Whaley in with us for the final hour of the show. And football talk on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he's built and to protect his empire. Stream the new season of Tulsa King on Sunday, September 21st, exclusively on Paramount Plus. Pony revealed yesterday that his dad is in Tulsa King.
Yeah, his dad's a, he has over 30 credits in movies, I think.
Over 30 credits?
I think something like that.
Ah, so he's got a SAG card.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Nice. Good for him.
Uh-huh. Including butt nudity.
What?
Wait, what?
His dad, his butt was on a movie.
Mm.
At 60 years old, he was.
Is he a body double, or that was just part of his scene?
You know what? Yeah. I didn't really.
Can you imagine going to the mailbox, getting that residual check, opening it up, and being like, yes. And then looking back at your butt, thank you.
Yep.
For paying the bills.
Can I imagine that? No.
No.
No, I cannot. In fact, we were talking about theater in the last segment, and I got a quick theater story. So senior year, you know how it is. Senior year, that's my time to shine. I'm going to go get a big part senior year. Well, the Steelers, they win a Super Bowl, and we all go to the Steelers parade, skip school. Our audition is at the end of the school day. So I skip the entire day of school, ride the T back, come off, come to audition. I wanted to be Reverend Hale in The Crucible, but I did a terrible job memorizing the monologue because I was at the Steelers parade, and I read it off the script, and that was it.
That was it?
Mm-hmm. And I got really mad at Mrs. Schreiner, the theater teacher, but it wasn't her fault. It was me for failing to study for the role that I wanted.
That's the story?
Yeah. Great story. I mean, the story about that for mine.
Look at Doug Steeler, trying to save it.
Yeah.
from the Steeler parade, riding on the back of a truck, on my phone, talking, having a good time. And it was back then I had the old flip phone. Close the flip phone, drop it in between the flatbed and the front of the truck. That little space hit perfectly. I was like, that's just, hey, I won a Super Bowl. Who cares? I lost my phone. It doesn't matter.
Wow.
But can you imagine that? It landed straight perfectly.
I mean, the gap is like, yeah, insane.
Oh, and it wasn't like, I'm not, what's up? 05. And it wasn't like I'm going to say, stop.
Right.
All right, forget it. Oh, well.
Just leave it there.
Yeah.
Get a new one.
All right, that's a better story. Bechtel, you got anything on wiffle ball?
Other than playing at really cool fields in Vermont.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia.
I'll save you here.
Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Sorry. I'll give you my theater story. Are you theater or theater?
Oh, I'm a theater guy. RE at the end, not ER.
So I'm sixth grade, same thing. I'm in this play. Who knows?
Did you do it all the way through high school?
No.
Oh.
Sixth grade, one and done.
Oh, no, I was cool in high school.
No. I'm Kentucky basketball player, one and done. So part of What I had to do, though, is there was a box on the chair, and I had to sit down in the box, and there were some eggs in it. So I sit down. I didn't go far enough. I wake up. I look up, and I'm like, so I sit down again. Ain't nothing. So I did it a third time. Finally, I just said, there's supposed to be some eggs here. They're not happening. Anyway, and I just kept rolling. So tried to save you as a dumb story. I got your back, buddy.
Man.
That was bad.
Yeah. You guys, wow, you guys are doing it today.
And that's why.
I mean, that's 8 minutes worth of just theater stories.
Yeah.
You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I'm sorry I didn't play college football or play in the NFL. I got theater and crew to fall back
on. At least have some good stories, though. Yeah. People are driving in their car, getting ready for work, and you're talking about you and the old grandpa that you played with nine lines in the damn Crucible. Francis don't nobody want to hear that.
Speaking of the Crucible, let's talk about Steelers' performance against the Jets.
Well, Doug, do you feel better, worse, or the same about the Steelers after week one?
I feel really good about Arthur Smith. I think when people talk about the Mike Tomlin effect, it showed up on a game like that. When you get outgained, but you find a way to win, you put your players in position to make plays to win the game, that's it. Are there some concerns? Absolutely. Is Aaron Rodgers going to make it through the year? Not at that pace. Is the running game the way they want it to be, or they profess they want to have a running game that's efficient and committed to? That didn't look like it. You pay Jaylen Warren, what, 12, 18 million, whatever it was, and he's not even starting. Defensively, you're going to be, I mean, everybody's talked about historic, whatever. You got punched in the mouth again.
By Justin Fields.
Again. Someone you discarded,
And
you're talking about an offensive line that was a makeshift off of offensive line after you paid to your defensive linemen a bunch of money. So the win is a win. Great. And it reminds you of the Bengals win in 22 where they had four turnovers but still came back to win. So my point being is there's some positives, and I love it on the coaching side, but on the player side, which kind of turns into the coaching side, there's a lot to be desired. A lot. And I know you guys talked about it, and I've been banging this drum for probably since after the season, player development. Keanu Benton, first year. Oh, we got something. Nothing since then.
He was terrible on Sunday.
Joey Porter, first year. We got something. Has regressed or even plateaued. Hasn't got better. There's nobody that we are talking about that's like, wow, man, I love that development. He came in at this, and he's there. Herbig was always a good pass rusher, still showing that. I just would be careful about putting Herbig in a prolonged exposure. He's probably best as that situation.
Less is more.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you look back at the offseason and you could redo it, would you, if you were Omar, pay a defensive lineman? And draft. Like, do you think that that's the weakest link right now is the defensive line? Well, not the weakest link on the team because obviously the tackle's position on the offense, but if we look at the D-line, like, would you have paid somebody to come in and drafted, or do you think that this is going to pan out with the two draft picks they have, obviously Harmon being out right now?
Yeah. I don't know if I would have paid somebody because you knew you were going to have to re-up with – they probably knew about Cam because Cam probably said something, and TJ. So then you're going to add some more, I think, the draft. But my thinking is you're drafting, but if you look at, and I love Carl Dunbar, he was with us in Buffalo, but his resume and his body of work of what he's done with the talent that he has.
He ain't John Mitchell.
Far cry. And it hasn't. And now, is it scheme? Is it attitude? Whatever it is, all of it combined, that defense has to turn around, and it's about pride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, your last two performances, Baltimore and the Jets, and we're talking, and everybody was like, oh, the Jets stink, right? Everybody thought the Jets stunk. That's why Aaron Rodgers is here. And then to have a new coach, and yes, he's coming in and he's obviously turned some things around, but the Steelers should not have gotten punched in the mouth like that. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Again. Come on now.
Well, the reason why I'm more encouraged than discouraged after week one is because that's a game they'd have lost the last 5 years. They got above-the-line quarterback play, and I think that's probably underselling how well Rodgers did play given the circumstances. But it did feel like a continuation of the end of last year in pretty much every other area. Where have they poured their resources to in the draft? Offensive line and defensive line these last few years. And they're supposed to be building themselves in the image of the Philadelphia Eagles. What were the two aspects of the game where they played the most poorly? The offensive line and the defensive line. Not only was it not a strength, the two glaring weaknesses were the trenches.
Right.
Is it schematic with stopping the run, do you think, at all?
I don't think so. I didn't see the film, so I don't know if they were doing something that they didn't notice. But even if so, at halftime, you make adjustments. In the end, it's mano y mano. And I always revert back to Russ Grimm's Hall of Fame speech. There's no better feeling in the world than moving a man from point A to point B against his will. And the Jets did that to the Steelers all day long. So at the end, it comes back to pride and saying, I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to whip this guy in front of me and start playing on the other line of scrimmage, other side of the line of scrimmage. And you never saw that.
Mm-mm.
And this is, and again, you could throw it out as an anomaly if you didn't see it against Baltimore. So, I mean, after a while, this is not an anomaly. It's starting to be a trend, which means that's who you are mm-hmm. after a while. You are not the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we all like to harken back to, oh, back in the day. But you ask anybody, 31 other teams, it was always win, lose, or draw, or what type of talent the Steelers had on their roster. When you went in to play them, you knew you had to tighten the chin strap up a little tighter. And when you walked out of there, you were like, we won, but we were in a fight. We had to fight. I don't think you can say that anymore.
No, they weren't hard to play against, borrow a Mike Sullivan term.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, no, ain't no extra juice. It's just another team on the schedule that, you know, just so happened to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
How do you keep it from not being anything extra?
Knowing that it isn't. Knowing that it isn't anything more than another football game, and we got to go out there and do everything that we can to try to win.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. It'll be sun-kissed skies in Pittsburgh for the home opener, Steelers and Seahawks. Temperatures in the low 80s. Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Now, DK Metcalf has a revenge game on Sunday, but it's definitely It's nothing like Rodgers. Rodgers had to fly to New York to have Aaron Glenn and the Jets tell him 2 seconds into a conversation, we don't want you anymore. And Rodgers thought that was disrespectful, and he outlined all the reasons why when he was still doing the McAfee show, which we're not getting anymore, which is on some levels disappointing because he would peel back curtains. And I think guys are more likely to peel back curtains on their own show than they are when they're just at a locker.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like they have a little bit more control of the situation.
But also sometimes peeling back curtains upsets teammates and coaches and things like that and fans. So
now, I was bummed out when the Roethlisberger show ended because it was great for you, great for the station, great for me and Joe coming on after you guys. And generally speaking, made things very dramatic around the Steelers, which, you know, was good for business.
So Rodgers has cut out that drama. There's not really a lot of drama at all for Metcalf. It didn't end ugly there. He wasn't at loggerheads with Seattle. He saw an opportunity to get some more money. Seattle wants to pay Smith and Jigba eventually, and they've done a good job of finding some wide receivers lately. Mm-hmm. And it just made sense for all parties involved. Like, I don't think anybody's mad. Like, I don't think DK Metcalf's like Steve Buscemi in Billy Madison, and he's putting lipstick on listening to ELO, and he's got like a list up on a dartboard of people who he hates with the Seahawks. You know, I don't think that's the case. But to say it's just another game, it's not. You know, one organization your entire life, they draft you, they believe in you. They thought getting a second round pick justified trading you. Mm-hmm. On some level, they looked at him as disposable or expendable. And that would be the chip on my shoulder if I were him. And I do think he's one thing this guy is that we've learned is he is very, very professional, buttoned up, savvy, and polished. He, to me, I'm not going to say he plays like this guy, but DK Metcalf is the closest thing the Steelers have had as a wide receiver to Larry Fitzgerald, where he lets his play on the field do the talking. He gets all kinds of credibility with the people around him for how he goes about his business. And yeah, like one difference is he'll get in people's faces on the field, like his emotions, he'll run hot. I mean, look at some of the videos that are out there of him
barking at
Jalen Ramsey when he played for Seattle and Ramsey was with the Rams.
Like, he's a fiery guy.
He'll do that.
Wants to be.
But there's not a diva bone in this guy's body.
Well, I said that coming out of Monday. I said it was like watching George Pickens as far as the physicality and the skill set without any of the downside. Like what, a light beer, right? Great taste, less filling, and you don't feel like when DK Metcalf goes several plays without really seeing the ball because of the scheme maybe or because of coverages rolled his way,
yeah,
that the camera operators and the directors in the TV truck are going to say, get me an ISO on number 4. I want to see if he's flipping out. He just did his thing.
Does Sunday feel like a light beer day for you with temperatures being pretty hot and a little bit of humidity out there too? Have you moved on from light beers, or do you think light beers still have their place in the beer ecosystem?
Light beers absolutely have their place in the beer ecosystem.
And Sunday feels like a marathon day where you'd have to pace yourself because you'd start early and you'd go late.
Yeah, you know what Sunday actually feels like is a non-alcoholic day because Alex works all day. And it's
yes, I know that you have a situation now where you have to be a responsible adult. I'm saying put yourself back in your 20s and you're in the Donnie Nasty Boy clique and you're going to the game.
That's a light beer day. You've got to think like a veteran. Even if you're only 22, 23 years old, you've got to think like a 10-year legal drinker there.
Charlie, are you still a light beer guy? As a bartender, do you scoff at light beers or do you think light beers still have their place?
Light beers definitely have their place. They're just not my cup of tea.
One of my favorite
moves. What would be your cup of tea?
Yeah, he's a porter's guy, I bet. Stouts.
You're drinking porters if you're tailgating at 9 a.m.?
No. I'm tailgating at 9 a.m. and it's still this type of weather, I'm still on the Kona Big Wave train. It is a lighter beer, but it's not like Miller Lighter.
Malzy, talk to me like I'm 15 years old and I've never had a beer before. What is the Kona Blue Wave?
It's just a Hawaiian.
I've heard of Kona Ice.
No. It's a Hawaiian brewery, Kona Brewing, and it's just like their flagship like lager, like regular lager beer, like your Budweiser, your Sam Adams Boston Lager. Oh, it's light, but here's my point. You know what always made me laugh when I would go to any bar where it was more of a fancy beer bar? you would have maybe one or two light beers on tap, right? And then you would have somebody who would come in, and I saw this happen, and I always thought, what's going through the bartender's head? They would order a bottled light beer and ask for a glass. So here
people
I know, but that's just so, just get it out of the tap. If it's a good bar, they probably keep their taps better.
You know my grandmother's move was at bars? My grandmother's move was to ask for half a beer.
Half of a
you
beer?
You ever have that happen?
I've had people come in and just say, can I have a taste of that and a taste of that? Because you don't charge people if they just want a sample. And there would be this old guy who would always come in, can I have a sample of the Miller Lite? I'm like,
it's Miller Lite.
It's Miller
bro.
Lite. I think you know what it tastes like, big dog.
But I'm like, I'm not going to say no.
So he would just sample every beer you had on tap?
It was just Miller Lite. He would come in, get a crock of French onion soup, a sample of the Miller Lite.
A little dab of Miller Lite with
how much
French
was in the sample?
Soup.
Like a shot worth or more than
it's,
a shot?
Literally, you take a shot glass and you fill up the shot glass. So people can either
so he would drink a shot of Miller Lite while eating soup.
Correct. Old man Bob.
Simple existence.
R.I.P. Old man. Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, I've had that at like craft breweries now, though, where you can get like a half pour. You know, you've got your half pours, your sampler pack pours, all that stuff.
It wasn't until
that.
I came out here where I've seen people like pour salt and pepper in their beer.
I've never seen people actually just physically pour that in their beer. Everyone in the YouTube chat wants to know where you bartend now. I'm not divulging that information, Charlie.
But if Charlie wants to do that, he can.
You can, but I'm not divulging that information.
We have advertised in the company before, so I think I'm allowed to say it.
Okay, go ahead.
Pine Creek Public House in Allison Park, across the street from the get-go.
I just thought you might not want to have people coming in while you're trying to work, like going, hey, Charlie, love you in the YouTube comments, brother.
Oh, no, I have a wedding to pay for. If they want to come in and tip, go. You're more than welcome to come by on Tuesdays for Taco Tuesday.
The guy that called in and wanted to rain on everybody's parade at the start of the show.
Yes.
Did say something that's factually accurate about Rodgers and Metcalf from the Jets game. Air yards per target is a stat. How far did the ball travel on average when Aaron Rodgers threw the ball to DK Metcalf? Do you want to take a wild guess on what the number is?
How many targets did he have?
What he caught four and dropped two.
So there's six targets.
So though, there's
right?
six or seven targets, I would
and
think.
And this is air yards past the line of scrimmage. Like,
If he threw it behind the line of scrimmage, it would count as a negative.
Right, okay. So I think that the average on six for depth of target or air yards per to target is three.
Yeah, 3.2.
Because the one Metcalf dropped was like probably 2 or 3 yards beyond the line of scrimmage. The one he caught and then ran a long way with on the right side of the formation was about the same distance. He caught a screen and ran 30 yards with it. That
somebody
was 1 yard if
somebody
that.
Texted in. Wasn't after that guy called in to just try to be, you know, Debbie Downer and pointed out that that was the lowest of Metcalf's entire career. So one thing that I got to be honest, it did not feel this way watching the game. But it is true that Rodgers threw a lot of short balls, only one throw over 20 yards. And he got rid of the ball in 2.29 seconds. That's like 2021 Ben fast. That's Roethlisberger's last year, hot potato, get it from the center and get the ball out fast. But it didn't feel like watching it like he was doing
a lot
that.
Of it came, a lot of it, I thought, felt like it came within the flow of the offense. Like a couple of those bullet passes over the middle, the one to Freiermuth, that ball's out quick. Like, I don't know how I didn't do a one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi on like the touchdown to Austin or the touchdown to Skoronik, but I felt like both of those, the pockets on the move, he just makes the throw in rhythm. Because they were super efficient, Pony, and he threw four touchdowns. You're not going to think about like, did he target Metcalf in the way we think he should be targeted? You know what I mean? You're going to think Metcalf caught a ball, left a defender flat-footed, ran for 20 yards. They threw a screen, which was just properly executed, ball on time, ball not where he has to reach for it. Guy overran the play and he took it 30 more yards. Like I think when the result is as good as it was unexpectedly, you're a little bit more inclined to give grace to the process.
Here is Andy in Burgettstown. I want to talk to Andy because as he has stated on our show before, he is the biggest Seahawks fan within 100 miles radius because he's from the same hometown as former Penn State running back Kurt Warner, who went on to play with the Seahawks back in the 80s. Hello, Andy. Andy?
Oh, no.
Come on, Andy. I just gave you this big buildup here. You're not there. What happened, bro?
He's going to sound like Jerry Seinfeld right
Me?
Now.
Me? Well, I'm just...
What is he doing?
I'm incredulous. I'm giving you this introduction.
He called in really early in the show, and he might have just been one of those victims of he was still on hold and stepped away from the phone. He had been on hold for a little bit.
Here is Sam in Boston. Hello, Sam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I just drove in from Boston. I'm in Expert Talk Radio, but I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have 5 touchdowns because that last pass that he threw, that defensive guy tackled the guy by his shoestring. He was going in the end zone.
Thanks, Sam.
That's unbelievable limits. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, Hokie, Jabril Peppers in the house. I had a guy from Boston on the other day for the Boston Globe said, you know, he had some legal issues that have now been ironed out, and he's a really good football player. Yeah. Bill Belichick loved the guy. Yeah. He's a hitter. He's basically Deshaun Elliott. Not great in coverage, but you put him in the box, and he hammers people.
And they're going to need a guy like that.
Right now, you like him?
When he played for the Browns, you know, listen, he played for the Patriots. This guy's a guy who's just consistent ball player. Is he a game breaker, game changer? No. He's a guy that's going to be where he needs to be. He's a guy who's going to come in and play his role. I think what the biggest knock on him was he was a first-round draft pick, and has he lived up to that first-round draft pick kind of stigma? I don't know about that, but he's been a consistent physical football player, and he's a guy who the Steelers can put in the box, an eighth defender, and allow him to get in there and help stop the run, because teams are going to run the ball at the Steelers until they can stop it.
Bob?
I'm sorry. I was reading something. I wasn't paying to a word. I did not hear a word. What was the conversation? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have.
Oh.
I didn't hear.
Okay. I thought that was leading into a question.
No.
How about Tyreek Hill? Now, he suddenly has new legal problems. I don't know how both of you feel about that. Obviously, if you give me Tyreek Hill, I like it. I don't like everything that comes with him.
And everything does come with it.
And the Steelers want to deal with that, right? I mean, the reality is that now he's under investigation. So, you know, there's talk the Steelers are interested in Tyreek Hill. And if they go and get him, will he then just be suspended, right? And then you got a guy here on your roster you traded for, and now he can't even play. So that's something you have to consider as well. But I think right now, man, listen, I like Calvin Austin III. I like his speed. I like the plays he made last week. I mean, how was he not shown after 1 week that he can – fill that number two spot? 4 catches for 70 yards, drew a big PI in the final drive of the game. What's there not to like there?
Well, I think it's not even against him, but they're still, you know, Omar Khan and Andy White will strike me as they're all in on this season, as we know.
Sure.
So if there's another piece that can make that, and it doesn't have to be Tyreek Hill, by the way.
You don't want to sell the future out for a guy like Tyreek Hill, and you don't know what's going to happen there.
No, I'm not saying about him. There could be other guys.
I don't want any part of him.
First of all, Tyreek Hill's too expensive.
Why did Miami
would pay.
You got so many players on this team right now, you can't even play them all. I mean,
We
didn't see Darnell Washington on Sunday. We didn't see Roman Wilson. I saw Roman Wilson. I saw a little cameo.
My point is, there's flirtation with it because they're all in.
He's a game changer. What do you got to give up to get him?
I wouldn't want him. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about other guys you may trade for.
If you go all in on like a legit number two who could be a number one, is he going to get the ball? And then who doesn't get the ball?
Well, if he's good enough to get the ball, then that's a nice problem to have.
He wants
then
to get Metcalf more targets. He said he needs to get Austin more targets.
Fine.
They scored 34
points. That doesn't mean you don't
the
close
around
the
around
door.
Everybody.
That doesn't mean you don't.
No, you're always going to listen.
The door and listen, those
steal.
GMs should be on the phone every time trying to figure this out. I'm not endorsing it, and I would tell you I'm against it with Tyreek Hill. But there are other receivers who could be available by trade or whatever.
I'm waiting. When's the deadline? November?
I'm not saying now.
When I'm focused on guys,
we'll find out in time who
emerges. I'm focused on fixing up the leaks in this defense. I'm focused on, you know, developing your young guys. You have young Kevin Austin III. They have so much belief in him. He was hurt all training camp. all training camp. I don't even think he took a snap, and he comes out in the first game, and he's the number two guy, plays most of the snaps at wide receiver, and he has four catches for 70 yards, big PI call. I mean, give the guy a chance. Let him go
I'm
out there.
I'm not saying they're not.
Bob's not giving him a chance.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, you know, he took off last year. He elevated himself.
Sure he did.
He took advantage of whatever opportunity, and good for him, and he should, and he did it last week as well.
And you talk about this offense too, Pomp, the way they have the tight ends. I mean, you got Freiermuth, and you got Jonnu Smith, and you got Darnell Washington, he didn't play much. You got Connor Hayward. You got guys out there that can make plays.
But they only had the ball for 25 minutes. When you lose the time of possession, you also lose possession time in
There's
terms
no
of
question.
Offensive
but
style.
I disagree that in that game. They scored 34 score quickly. That's what
I understand
if
that. But I'm saying
they benefited from a takeaway. They benefited from a takeaway. Special teams takeaway was
one.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the game, right? That puts them right back in the game.
Sure,
they were down by 9 points at the time.
But even without that, they scored 27, which is more than the Steelers have scored for months at a time in the last 5 years.
But they lose at 27.
Sure, it helped.
Yeah.
But I'm saying the offense was great.
And usually, who wins a turnover battle usually wins, right? And they won the turnover battle.
Luckily, because they actually fumbled a couple balls and jumped on him.
And there were two potential interceptions that we didn't even talk about. One of them was it could have happened, and it didn't. So it didn't happen.
But everybody, every quarterback. But you know, I agree with you that there were things here that went the Steelers' way and things that didn't go the Steelers' way. But the big one was that takeaway that turned the game around. They were down by 9 points, and they went down and scored. Within a minute, they scored another one after that fumble caused by Gainwell.
But then the Jets came right back down and scored again.
Yeah.
And that's where –
they had two signature drives that if I was Aaron Glenn, the coach for the Jets, I'd say, man, we got a good team because they had two big-time drives in the second half where they marched down the field methodically and scored on the Steelers.
Yeah.
I thought, these guys – Aaron Glenn's a good coach. You could tell he has changed the culture in that Jets locker room.
And he didn't hesitate getting rid of Gibson after he made the fumble. He said accountability is my number one thing.
He's a former player, no-nonsense kind of guy. You could tell. You could just see kind of when they showed him on the sideline, like he wants to establish that physical, nasty culture. That's him. That's what Detroit was last year. That's where he was, right? And so I'm excited to kind of see the progression of the New York Jets so they won't be the same old Jets that we've seen the last decade.
It's a good day for bald guys. Chris Hoke is with us, and Mulsey will be at the Verizon store in Monroeville today from 4 to 6. Verizon registering customers for the chance to win a pair of tickets to the game versus Seattle, along with a basket of black and gold merchandise. Verizon is the official 5G provider of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sunny today, high of Plexico Burris, 80. Low of Nick Kerbig, 51. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. The 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. And the hotline, which Chris Hoke is on, even though he's in studio, brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Seattle Seahawks making the trip across the country for a game that's 10 a.m. Pacific time. Chris, as you watch them, as you study them, I don't care if it's offense or defense, what are you most worried about with the Seahawks?
Well, again, I think they're very similar to what we saw last week, right? In terms of this defense.
Trenches, right?
The trenches. Man, they brought in some guys. You know, they have Leonard Williams, who's a lot like Quinnen Williams on that defensive line. They got DeMarcus Lawrence, Jaron Reed. He had two, you know, a bunch of QB hits. They also have
They have a rookie number one guy,
and their defensive backfield is really good.
Very good.
And so I think they're going to be much better on the back end. They're going to be able to lock down some of these – not lock down, but be able to line up with these receivers, and they'll be running wide open like they were last week. So I think it's going to be a little more challenging for the offense to hit guys that are wide open. I mean, you know, there were guys that were running last week that were wide open against the Jets. So I think that the Seahawks – it is a challenge to come across the country to play a 10 o'clock game according to your Pacific time, but I think this is going to be a much more difficult game for the Steelers.
I agree. I don't think it's a slam dunk in any way.
Much more difficult than what?
Than last week.
How can it get more difficult than that? Then they're going to lose.
I think the defense will play better, but I do think that it's going to be more challenging on offense. I don't think that they're going to have the big plays. I don't think they're going to have four touchdowns. I think it'll be more of a slugfest. The Seahawks, they came out and they have a good defensive front. Sam Darnold did not play bad. I mean, he had zero touchdowns, zero interceptions, but he was a good manager of the game. He went out there and he made some good throws. I think that they're going to come in their second week. They're going to make some jumps. And if the Steelers' defense doesn't make the improvement that I think they will, they're going to be in a dogfight.
Plus, the defense is going to be challenged the same way it was last week. They have those two running backs starting with Kenneth Walker, and they're going to start.
And Charbonnet, and their backup, it's a good 1-2 punch.
He actually had more carries last week.
He ran better than him last week.
Well, Hokie, it seems to be the assumption that the Steelers' defense is going to get better and play really well this week.
Yeah.
Why should we believe that? What's going to happen?
Well, I think the veteran guys played pretty well. It's the young guys. The young guys got it. They'll get improved from week one to week two. They'll get coaching. They'll be focused on that. I think the big one is that inside linebacker position, Peyton Wilson. I think you're going to see a big jump from week one to week two. I think it was the game was a little fast for him. It'll start slowing down for him as a starter. The inside guys get back to playing good technique. At some point, I think you got to play Yaya Black a little bit more. He only got 24, 25 snaps in this game, and I thought he played well. He's a guy that can hold the point and allow the linebackers to roam. And so I think you'll see him playing more that left defensive end spot. And then again, I just think you're going to see an improvement because those guys have not played together in the preseason. A lot of guys, didn't play much. Cam Hayward didn't play much. You'll see more playing time. Cam Hayward will be in better shape this week than he was last week. He'll take more snaps, which will of course be a better defense.
What do you think Chris Boswell's limit is? I know that he goes and talks to Tomlin about, hey, trust me, from 65-70, I can do it. And that's one thing at the end of the game where you're down to third and a fourth and 50, whatever it was.
You got
to
nail it.
They haven't really. The odds are he'll hit 60 versus you converting a fourth down and getting another, a little bit of yardage. What do you think is and would they do it earlier in the game? Because my answer to that would be no.
I think it's all game situation, Pomp, because it depends on what's the score. If he misses it, where's he going to put the ball?
If you
start going into 65, 70-yard kicks, then all of a sudden you need a few yards and they're in field goal range, right? And so you got to be very careful about when you do it. But I think that he could have very easily nailed that kick from 70 yards that he kicked there at the end of the game.
It was.
It was an incredible kick. He's money. Listen, he is a serious weapon for the Steelers.
Joe, I don't think the snapper, Christian Kuntz, and the holder, Corliss Waitman, get enough credit.
It was flawless.
Those are huge. The snap especially. Yeah. It cannot be on a 60-yard field. It's got to be perfect, and it was.
All right, I need a final score and an MVP of the game, and who wins the time of possession battle for Bob?
Wow. I think the Steelers are going to win the time of possession battle. I think the Steelers are going to win this game. It's going to be a hard-fought game. I think it's going to be a very physical game. Both are going to try to establish the run. We didn't talk about that. They got to improve the run game, too, this week.
Yeah.
Offensively. I think it's going to be 24-21. Steelers are going to win. MVP of the game, I'm going to go with you put me on the spot for MVP.
Alex Highsmith. He was pretty good.
He was good last week.
He had a lot of tackles. He had the lone sack. I think the Steelers defense would have had a lot more sacks if it wasn't Justin Fields at quarterback. If they would have had Sam Darnold back there, I think it would have been 5 or 6 sacks. I mean, Justin Fields did a great job of eluding sacks and getting out of the pocket.
We didn't talk about Jalen Ramsey. He made the play of the game at the end there because that was a first down completion. Big. They would have had
An opportunity.
More plays. Yeah,
no question. So I think it's going to be a slugfest, though, and I think that the Steelers are going to pull this one out, but it's going to be a tight ball game.
All right, Hokie. What a man you've become. Thank you.
How about him?
Thank you.
Car smashed and grabbed, stolen, totaled by two teenagers, recklessly engaging the police in a high-speed chase. He comes in here. You never know. Look,
never know.
You and I, Joe, would be stressed.
Yeah.
We would be
beyond belief.
I landed from California last night at 11 p.m., too. I didn't get in bed till midnight.
You're unbelievable with all you got your notebook out with all the film you've watched.
All the film, all my things.
Did we miss anything? Was there anything that happened?
Oh, there's a lot
of things,
but there's only so much we could talk about in an hour, though, Starkey,
Yeah.
Yeah, but he does that. No, I love old school.
Hey, but I heard you came on the nightly sports call on Sunday night. How'd you do?
Showdown.
It was okay. Everybody noticed. They noticed I lost weight.
A lot of people noticed it.
Well, we all noticed it.
And I should tell you, Joe, because I found out the highest ratings we've had in like a month.
Because you lost weight.
I can only say that it's Joe Starkey.
That was because of Will Graves, Bob.
Maybe it was.
Maybe it was because of my weight loss. I don't know.
It could be.
Could have been.
Maybe.
We need to get you some like advertising for weight loss.
Can you show me a couple of workouts?
I'll show you some workouts, yeah.
I would
love
that.
Just being consistent. Just getting in there. I love getting
consistent. You know what I love,
Cokie? I should stretch more. I try to get 17,000 to 20,000 steps a day.
Oh, my God.
Holy horse oil. If I get 10,000, I'm thrilled.
Before we came here, I was just listening to some podcast. They allow me to think. I don't always agree with them, but it allows me to kind of think through things of the game. And I just walk in. Well, that's funny. I touch the stop sign at the end of my street, and I walk back. I do that probably 3 or 4 times a day.
Do you work with kettlebells?
And I should. They're good. Kettlebells are really good.
I love kettlebells all of a sudden.
I'm trying just to, before I was a long-distance guy when I retired, and now I'm trying to maybe not run as long, but try to get some more weight training in, more weightlifting.
I asked a workout guy, how do I get rid of my man boobs? They're the thing I'm most embarrassed about.
Let's lose weight, I think.
He said, I said, which machine in here? Which weights? He's like, push-ups. Push-ups and planks.
Dips. Dips are really good, too. I love
planks.
Dips.
Planks are good. Yeah. I've tried that, and I don't know how long you can do it. I try to get to 30 seconds, and
I can't even do it for – I tried to do it for commercials for the Pirates last night. Thank God I didn't do it between base hits of the Pirates. I'd be dead.
No, dips and pull-ups have been really good to me. Those are ones that are tried and tested and really good.
We'll do a workout then, shall we?
Absolutely.
Do you drink alcohol at all? Wine?
No, I've never had a lick of alcohol in my life.
See, that's another thing. It puts extra sugar in your system.
Yeah.
But, you know, every now and then, you don't want a glass of wine to celebrate something or anything.
Nah. Okay. I have my diet Dr. Pepper.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.